It's Wednesday, so you've got me. I'm Carousel Baird. Hey, you can listen to me any day of the week. You can listen online at WORTFM.org, at the A Public Affair podcast, or on the WORT smartphone app. If you like what you hear, click the donate button and support community media. Your donation makes a huge difference.
6 foot 6 above sea level. I grab the mic because I like to take you to another mental level.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to A Public Affair. It's Wednesday, so that means you've got me. I'm Carousel Baird, and I want to remind you, you are listening to volunteer-powered, listener-sponsored community radio, WORT 89.9 FM Madison. And we are continuing this week our conversations with candidates running for Assembly District 46. They all want to be the next representative in the Wisconsin State Assembly for the neighborhoods of Sun Prairie and Cottage Grove. And I want to take 1 second here before we talk with our two fabulous guests today and correct myself. I made a mistake and misstated the boundaries of Assembly District 46 last week. Well, we all know the Wisconsin Supreme Court changed the maps at the last minute, and I could have sworn I was looking at the right maps, but guess what? I wasn't. I was wrong. So, I want to correct and make sure everybody knows we are talking about the race, Assembly District 46, to take the place of retiring Wisconsin State Assembly member Gary Hebel. And it will represent Sun Prairie, almost all of Sun Prairie, the towns and villages of Cottage Grove, a little sliver of Madison. It does not include or even come close to Stoughton. I was wrong when I said that last week. So anyhow, without further ado, and thank you to the correction so that I'm getting it right. Thank you all for holding me accountable and making sure I get my information right. And so let's get the conversation started. We have two fabulous candidates for that seat joining me today. For the first half of the show, we're going to be talking with Melissa Radcliffe, and the second half with Andrew Heisel. So, Melissa, you are here with us. Hello. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. I was saying we've served on the county board together for the last 6 years, and what an error on my part that I've never had the pleasure of having you on my show before. So great to finally have you. Melissa, tell us a little bit about why you're running for Wisconsin State Assembly.
Thank you. I just wanted to take a moment to remember the little lives that were lost in the senseless gun violence yesterday, though. Yeah. This country seems to care more about ensuring access to assault rifles than it does about our children, and I'm just sick about it. We need to act. I mean, if we look at the few school shootings over the years, just a few of them, Columbine with 13 murdered, Sandy Hook, Marjorie Stoneman Douglas, and then yesterday with 21. I mean, and these are just some of the schools that have had mass shootings, and doesn't include our grocery stores, beauty parlors, concerts, churches, mosques, subways, restaurants, malls, healthcare clinic, bowling alley, workplaces, festivals, banks. I mean, just people trying to live their lives. Thousands of lives lost and those left behind forever changed because we don't have the political will to enact common sense gun reform. And I'm not afraid of the NRA. And last night I donated to Moms Demand Action. They're doing great work through grassroots advocacy to encourage our legislatures to pass laws to protect our children. And Moms Demand Action has a long list of things that could be done to prevent these senseless tragedies. Just a few of these things are like background checks, secure gun storage, and violence intervention programs. And so I encourage everyone to check out their website for ways that they can advocate for our children to be safe in their own schools at everytown.org. And lastly, next week is June 3rd, with National Gun Violence Awareness Day. With next weekend, June 3rd to June 5th, is Wear Orange Weekend. My pledge to moms, dads, sisters, brothers, aunts, grandparents, and young people in the 46th district is to do all I can as a state legislator to support and pass laws that someday, finally, will prevent these heartbreaking tragedies that we have to go through. And so to answer your question, why I'm running for state assembly to represent District 46.
Yeah.
Is this is my home. This is where I'm raising my family, my 13 and 17 year old kids who are in public schools in this district. I've been elected 3 times to the Dane County Board and Cottage Grove Village Board in the heart of District 46, and people encourage me to run to continue the work on the issues that are important to my neighbors, residents, and parents in our district. People in District 46 want someone in the state assembly who will continue to work on the issues that they care about that affect their lives. They want someone who can work with their colleagues to get things done, and they want a fighter in the assembly, someone who will stand up for our shared values. And that makes me the best candidate to work for and represent District 46.
Melissa, thank you. Thank you for opening with that. And can you detail a little bit about what are things that we can do on a state level in Wisconsin to address and prevent future gun violence? It's right. I have kids in the Madison Public Schools, and yesterday was really tough. I, on some weird level, I almost tried to ignore it more than I had ignored other shootings before, because it feels so hopeless to get emotional. It feels overwhelming at the thought of that there's nothing we can do. And, you know, you're talking about the voice that and the leadership you want to bring to the state assembly. Tell me about the things that you think you can do to address this.
Thanks. And I agree with you. It's hard. This is really hard. And I found myself kind of not watching the news for a little bit yesterday. And it really hit me this morning. Do I take my kids to school? Mm. I mean, it's mm-hmm. just one of the... So what we can, I mean, Governor Evers called a special session previously, and the Republicans gaveled in and gaveled out. I mean, we need to be putting forward legislation that helps our state, that works to prevent these tragedies, that can protect our communities. And we need to work towards electing legislators that care about our communities.
Talk to me about your experience on the Dane County Board and on the Village Board for the Village of Cottage Grove, and the work that you've done. I know on the County Board you were served as chair of the Public Works Committee and of other subcommittees, and so much work, but a lot of what you did in your role as chair was collaboration, you know, not just overseeing projects, specifically your role on as, you know, the chair of Public Works, but also educating your colleagues. And you and I had worked together just recently on collaborating. Tell me about that work that you've done on the County Board and the Village Board, and how that will influence you when you get to the state level.
Well, all politics is local, and I know it and believe it, and that's why I work so hard on issues that my communities care about. Being, as you've noted, being elected 3 times to the County Board and Village Board has given me a unique perspective on what my communities care about, and working towards solving issues or working towards advancing initiatives that help our communities is part of being in government and working with others on the boards, working with my colleagues and working with officials at the local county and state levels. One thing that has really brought a lot of collaboration is the broadband task force mm-hmm. that I'm also the chair of. And that has a great group of members that throughout our county and all different, that represent different aspects that require access to the broadband, such as our schools, our healthcare. And what we found is that they're really one of the recommendations that will be coming out is they're really wanting to do advocacy on working to solve this, because there is a state law that kind of prohibits the expansion of broadband. Like it prevents us from being what we need to do to expand broadband throughout the county and state. It requires a public-private partnership, basically. So we need to, our rural areas need to rely on internet service providers to expand in those areas where it might not be cost-effective for the providers. And so working on addressing that issue at the state level is something that I'm looking forward to. And I've already reached out to our legislators that have been working on that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, that's sort of, unfortunately, a common theme that we have in local government, of the state laws really sort of mucking it up, getting in the way of local government being able to make the decisions that they think are the best decisions for their communities. How do you look at that?
Could you expand on that?
Your thoughts of, I really liked your the work that you've done on the broadband task force and seeing how there were obstacles in the way of broadband service getting to rural communities, not even rural communities, smaller communities than the big cities, as you were talking about. And is that part of the experience that you'll bring from local government, is to understand how state laws have impacted your community?
Oh, yes. I mean, that's part of the unique perspective that I have working at on the village board and understanding how our state government is impacting what we're able to do, what even small businesses are able to do in our community, and the even between the village board level and the county board level, the ways that they're able to interact, how even county board zoning impacts our rural areas. So, which is something that people that aren't part of towns might not understand the full scope that zoning really impacts those communities.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that some of the other issues that you've been talking about, you feature on your website, work that you've done regarding affordable housing. Talk to us about that.
So when I first started on the village board, we, in Cottage Grove, there it was no affordable housing units in our community. And I was able to work with Olivia Parry in the Dane County planning department. And she came out and gave a presentation to our village board. And then we had some other speakers that worked with affordable housing that gave presentations to our village board. And from that, then it raised awareness, and our community has our first affordable housing project in Cottage Grove that will open this year with 100 units with moving out, which provides affordable housing for people with disabilities, a percentage of those apartments. And it's a collaboration with county funding as well. And through that, the importance of affordable housing throughout our county has really, I've learned so much about it over the past years that I am really excited that our Dane County Planning Department is putting forward a Dane County Regional Housing Strategy to look at how the different communities throughout the county have worked to address housing shortages or their lack of housing options in their own communities. Mm-hmm. So they'll all be able to collaborate together to have this sort of plan going forward the county will have this plan or idea of what types of housing we currently have, what types of housing we need, and hopefully the communities can have an idea of what other communities are doing so that they can move forward so that we can address our lack of housing in our county, because we are the fastest growing county in the state.
It's so important to make sure we have the variety of all that affordable housing in Dane County and beyond. We're talking right now with Melissa Radcliffe. She's one of the candidates running for Assembly District 46. So Melissa, we've talked about the issues, some of the issues near and dear to you that you'll fight for if you get to the State Assembly. And of course, as you know, the State Assembly is very partisan, focused on Republicans that are the leaders in the state right now and have the majority in the State Assembly and the entire state legislature. How will you get things done knowing that you'll be part of the minority party if you are elected?
You know, Carousel, that is something that I get at doors a lot in District 46. And extremists in the legislature don't represent the vast majority of people in Wisconsin. On abortion, for example, almost three quarters of Wisconsinites think that Roe v. Wade should be upheld. 51% of Republicans favor legalizing marijuana. Voters in 32 counties in Wisconsin, I think, have passed referenda calling for fair maps. And 87% of Wisconsin voters oppose gerrymandering. So it's about getting back in step with the people of Wisconsin, right? We need to have a legislature that is representing our state. Obviously, that's not going to change anytime soon due to gerrymandering and, frankly, because of some of the political sideshows that we've seen lately. But my focus is going to be on treating the people in this legislature as individuals and find things that we can agree on. Broadband is one of those issues where Democrats and Republicans agree we need to invest in it. And it's an area that I've been working hard in. And ultimately, the people of the 46th district will be sending me to the legislature to get things done and not to compromise on the shared values we hold. That's how I'm going to approach the job.
And how, talk to me about, you grew up outside, not just here in Dane County, but you spent part of your childhood in Green Bay. I think I had that right. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. And talk to me about your experience beyond, you know, the district and how that will help you succeed at the state legislature.
Thanks. I was born in Green Bay, a full-blooded Green Bay Packer fan.
It's a requirement when you're born in Green Bay, right?
Yes. So my parents divorced when I was really young, and my mom and I moved to Wausau, where I grew up, and I graduated from Wausau East High School in 1995. And so I moved to the Madison area, though, after I graduated, and I worked in retail and took on a third shift job, and decided to then go to Madison College to become a paralegal, which was a terrific decision. And I mean, I've been at my current employer for more than 20 years. My family and I love living in Cottage Grove. We moved there because my husband's family moved there in 1991 and have been there. And so we wanted to be closer to family when we raised our children. And the great public schools and wonderful parks and natural areas that are there. So my son will graduate from Monona Grove High School this year. And my daughter's in eighth grade at Glacial Drumlin School. It's just a great community. My mom, she moved down here to be closer to her grandchildren. And she has, she's from a family of 10. And so I grew up around a lot of cousins, aunts, and uncles when I was younger. So serving this area serving my friends and neighbors in the community in which I live and where I'm raising my children is just a great honor. Every day I bring the shared values to my work on the county board and village board. And now I'm looking forward to continuing that important work at the state level.
Talk to me about, you've mentioned that your children attend public schools, and that has been a big issue of contention at the state legislature, adequately funding our public schools. What are things that you can do to address, you know, the tension between the Republicans in charge right now and Governor Evers and the Democratic vision of making sure that our public schools are funded?
Yeah, it is a huge issue. We need to fully fund our public schools. They're really stressed. I mean, we have a $2 billion surplus in our state, and our schools, our teachers are terrific. They do their job. I mean, they're terrific with our kids, and our school boards are doing the best they can with the resources that they have. But I mean, $2 billion surplus, what are we waiting for? Our schools need that funding. So I'm going work to do what I can to show that, I mean, it's not just Dane County schools that are struggling, our rural schools. We have so many different school districts, but from what I understand, in our rural areas, they're consolidating some. That means kids are on the bus longer to get to school. And what was a great program this year, that I know that the some representatives in our state legislature currently have put forward, is to expand the free school lunch and breakfast program. I mean, I know my kids have eaten more hot lunch at school just because they had the option of it being there and not having to worry about payment and stuff. Even though they were able to pay, they just, it just makes a difference. And so when kids have access to resources, I mean, they're able to thrive better. So I'm going to work hard to do what I can to work towards getting our kids funding.
I like that you a couple times in your responses today have talked about, you know, the needs of rural communities and the needs of, you know, obviously speaking on behalf of Cottage Grove and some prairie, the needs in cities and bigger communities. Do you think that there's more in common and a better connection than people realize between the needs of our cities and our villages and our towns and our rural communities?
I mean, we're all people, we're all trying to raise our families. We all care about our communities. And so we have more in common than apart. And I'm looking forward to representing the district at the state level and the issues that my communities care about.
Well, Melissa, in our we have a few more minutes with you. Can you tell us a little bit about how, if there's any other issues that are important that you want to talk about, and then how people can get to know you better? Where can they learn about your campaign and perhaps get to meet you along the campaign trail?
Yes, thank you. Well, I have a lot of priorities. I mean, where do you start? My priority, I mean, but one main one will be that I'll always fight for our fundamental rights, including a pregnant person's right to choose. Fully funding our public schools, which we've talked about.
Yeah.
I want to support our families by ensuring access to affordable health care, affordable child care, and ensuring people can earn a livable family-supporting wage. Also, safe roads and bridges, and doing a better job of creating a sustainable world for our children. I mean, those are just a couple. And then as far as finding more information about me, please check out my website, RatclifforAssembly.com. It's F-O-R, so three F's in a row, RatclifforAssembly.com. You can email at campaign@RatclifforAssembly.com. Facebook is Ratcliffe for Assembly. And lastly, campaign phone number is 608-206-1818.
Well, it's been wonderful talking with you, Melissa. And you know what? I'll touch we have a minute still. I'll touch a little bit on, tell us more about the healthcare issue. I know that you shared a really personal experience on your website about your family's recent experience and challenges in accessing, you know, healthcare that you with a diagnosis from your family.
Last year, my son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, which is the kind that's not controlled by diet. He'll need insulin for the rest of his life to survive, basically. His body can't break down carbs. And I'm glad that we have health insurance, that we've had that access to health insurance, and that he'll be able to be on my health insurance until he's 26. Thank you, Obamacare, yeah. Affordable Care Act. But what does he do after that? Like, that's a concern for me as a parent that he'll need this going forward. And I know that I'm not alone. Like, there's so many families that struggle with this issue and worry if they have enough to go see the doctor when they need to, if they can afford the co-pays, even if they do have health insurance. And so we need to expand Medicaid and Badger Care so that people don't have to have this worry about their health and they can live their lives.
Well, it's been wonderful to talk with you. Thank you for, you know, sharing your experience and your stories. And I'm so excited that you're running for assembly. Thank you for all that you're doing, Melissa, and best of luck on the campaign trail.
Thanks, Carousel.
It's been great talking with you. That was Melissa Radcliffe, one of the candidates running for Wisconsin State Assembly in District 46. And we will keep the conversation going. We have another candidate joining us. It's such a nice bunch of people. Andrew Heisel. Hello, Andrew. How are you doing? Oh, you're muted, Andrew. Try that one more time. The famous Zoom statement of our lives. Hello, Andrew.
Yeah, Zoom mistake number 513, right? Yeah, very nice to meet you. Thanks for having me on today.
Wonderful to meet you. So tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're running for Wisconsin State Assembly.
So I graduated from high school in Milwaukee, attended Carroll College back when it was a college, before it became a university. I worked then in Madison for a state legislator, and at night I worked for the Assembly Democratic Campaign Committee, raising money for Democratic candidates by calling teachers for small dollar donations. After that, I went in and did campaigns around the country for Democratic candidates, ended up in Washington, D.C., working on the Hill, and then enrolled in law school at night while working for the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids. I then worked for Save the Children on their federal and state policy in the United States. And then after that, I returned to Wisconsin, and I've been working in the Madison area ever since.
Talk to us about all those different, I mean, you really bring a different perspective of working not just locally, but in Washington, D.C., on really big picture campaigns. How will that help shape the work that you do if you're elected to the state legislature?
Thanks. I would say that I've had an opportunity to work on a number of different policy issues with both Democrats, Republicans, and independents, issues like campaign finance reform. I did work on that when I worked on the Hill. I actually worked very closely with Ron Kind's office on the campaign freshman bill that they launched in the late 90s that became Shays Meehan, which was the McCain-Feingold bill eventually. I've also had a chance to work on a lot of public health issues like tobacco use prevention amongst our youth. Back in 1996, 24% of high school students reported tobacco use, and that has dropped down to 4% today. So I think that's been a really successful initiative. I worked on public education and supporting that through reauthorization of the federal Elementary and Secondary Education Act and making sure that dollars are available for schools serving low-income families and helping reduce some of the gaps that exist, learning gaps that exist. And I would just say that experience has been really, really pivotal for me. It's been something that has taught me a lot about how policy affects people, affects their real lives, and how to pass policy that to get it through the political process, because it can be a real challenge, as I'm sure everybody listening to this program knows. So yeah, I would bring those skills to this position if I'm elected.
So tell us more about that. So if you're elected, you're holding a Democratic seat in a heavily Republican and Republican-controlled state legislature, how would you move some of your initiatives forward?
So, and I really appreciate you bringing up that point, because while the state capitol is about 10 miles from us here in Sun Prairie, the Cottage Grove area, it may as well be 10,000 miles away. The way that the legislature is currently being run is really a problem. It's a problem because it's preventing good policy from passing. The Republican, I would call them the Trump Republican leadership, is not interested in listening to the Democrats or what they have to say. They're really interested in just passing policies that help them retain power. And I'm fully cognizant of that. And if elected in this position, would be doing what I can in the minority to advance our agenda. And I think one of the first things I would do is I would really commit myself to ensuring, if I win this primary, ensuring that Governor Tony Evers is reelected. He is standing between us and a lot of really horrible things that we would never want to see happen. The Republican State Party Convention put forward a proposal to create a Class A felony for anyone who provides an abortion in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Not only would I work to roll back the 19th century outdated prohibition on abortion that's on the books, unfortunately, in Wisconsin, but I would absolutely oppose something like that. And so I think what I would say is that I am fully aware, clear-eyed, of what we would be facing in Madison. And it's unfortunate, but it's a reality, and I'm fully prepared to address that reality.
I want to talk about some of the different issues that you've brought up so far. Talk to us about Save the Kids campaign. What tell us more about that and the work that you did with that.
For sure. So Save the Children works around the world. You've probably heard of them overseas. They're doing a lot in Ukraine right now. In the United States, they focus primarily, and at the time, they focused primarily on supporting children living in low-income rural communities. My job, I started off working on their state policy initiatives, where we would go into states and try to identify public resources to direct to those communities for supplemental after-school and early childhood programs. In addition, I was then promoted and became the associate vice president for both their federal and their state policy. And at the federal level, I had a chance to work with the First Lady's Let's Move initiative. First Lady Michelle Obama had this really amazing initiative that lives on today through a nonprofit that tried to promote better nutrition and physical activity for children in order to combat the childhood obesity crisis. Some of the more successful things that she did was she actually created a, she had a garden at the White House. They brought a chef from Chicago who led some of their work around healthy eating. And it was through that work that we were able to promote at the state level a number of policy changes. Things like leaving school grounds open after school so that the equipment can be utilized by families that maybe didn't have a lot of options for physical activity. Promoting things like allowing SNAP benefits to be used at local farmers markets, promoting menu labeling so people know what's in the food that they eat, and also preventing the targeting of children with advertising for junk food. These are things that came from that initiative, and the credit really goes to Michelle Obama and her initiative, but that was something I was able to be part of at Save the Children.
And are those things that we have implemented here or policies that we can do here in Wisconsin as well?
For sure. And there are a lot of activists in the state that work on this issue. And there's a lot of things that can be done at the local level. In fact, a lot of the policies are implemented at the local level through partnerships with schools. I would say that the school lunch program is a really important area to focus on to ensure that children are receiving healthy fruits and vegetables through their school lunch program. I also would say that the benefits of this are really important to focus not just on the overarching health and obesity of children, but also look at the disparities. That's something that's been really a big part of this. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation has invested tens of millions of dollars into policy change campaigns targeting disparities that exist in low-income communities and communities of color. Because even if you can reduce overall levels of childhood obesity, if we can't close the gap in those communities, that's not considered a win. And I really appreciate them for prioritizing that.
I appreciate you for bringing up, you know, the racial disparities that are part of the policies and that we look at. And how would you make sure that there's a racial justice lens when legislation is moving forward at the state assembly level?
Well, I'll bring up my work on legalization of cannabis in Wisconsin because it was motivated. My initial connection to the issue was motivated by what I would view as systemic racism in how cannabis prohibition is implemented in Wisconsin and in other states.
Hmm.
2018, working for the Wisconsin Justice Initiative, I was hired by them to work with at the county level to place questions on the ballot about whether cannabis marijuana should be legalized for adult use and or medical use. Decriminalization goes hand in hand with that because right now in Wisconsin, African Americans are arrested three times at the rate of white people for possession of marijuana, despite equivalent use. To me, you can talk about theories, you can talk about ideas. This is a number that you can't argue with. It is racist in how this policy is implemented. So as an example to your question, how would I view things through a lens that takes into consideration how it impacts communities of color?
Mm-hmm.
I have on this issue, and I would do so on any other issue. I don't feel in good conscience representatives in the legislature, Senate or assembly people, should turn a blind eye to something as glaring as that.
We're talking right now with Andrew Heisel. He is a candidate running for Wisconsin State Assembly in District 46, including most of the city of Sun Prairie and the village and town of Cottage Grove and other areas around there. Okay, so Andrew, tell us more about campaign finance reform. I know that was something that when I was looking at your website, I saw a little bit about that and that you had mentioned that. How does that, how do you use that issue as you're running for assembly?
Well, when I'm at the doors, actually, I ran into somebody who brought it up to me recently. And he said, he phrased it as, we should really stop money coming in from outside our state that influences elections. I think he was referencing a school board race up in Green Bay where money from an Illinois-based group was like running ads or spending money. And I said to him, so what you mean is campaign finance reform? And he's like, yeah, campaign finance reform. It's an issue that affects our policies in this state so much, yet it's kind of an abstract concept. But I think it's really incumbent upon us as people who want to be elected officials is to make sure people understand how much it really affects their day-to-day life. When I worked on the Hill, there was a group of freshman members, both Democrats and Republicans, who got together. They had just gone through an election cycle. It seems like every election cycle gets worse and worse with outside spending, where Democrats and Republicans came together and it created the Bipartisan Campaign Integrity Act. And this was a bill that had six Democrats and six Republicans, all freshmen. Ron Kind was one of those freshmen. And the bill attempted to address at the time, which was known as soft money, that was being spent outside the campaign finance system by political parties and third-party groups. This bill went to the House floor. It was amended by what was known at the time as the Shazmian bill, which was the McCain-Feingold bill in the House. And it was passed by the House of Representatives. Unfortunately, it died in the Senate, but fortunately in 2002, it passed the Senate and it became law. Now, unfortunately, the Supreme Court has eviscerated it through a number of decisions. And we're looking at a situation where campaign financing is, I would argue, is in a really sad state of affairs. I mean, outside money runs unimpeded. People refer to it as dark money. And the system that we were fighting to promote back then looks antiquated in comparison. I doesn't mean we don't keep fighting for campaign finance reform. It is really essential because, again, it allows special interests to have outsized influence more than they should in issues that affect the families here in Sun Prairie and Cottage Grove. And I really think that we should continue to do what we can to promote campaign finance reform.
What role can you play as a representative from Sun Prairie and Cottage Grove with your colleagues, if you're in the state assembly, across the state to ensure, moving forward progressive values?
Sure. So a couple of things. One is we need to win more elections. Okay. So the Democrats need to win more elections. We have, I think sometimes I talk to a lot of voters at the door and they talk to me about a bunch of people that protested in 2011 Act 10. And they went down there and they did their best. They worked day and night protesting, raising their voices, and the Republican leadership ignored them. They ignored them because they had the power and they moved forward anyways. And Act 10 has undermined our unions, our public sector unions in the state, which has hurt working families, okay? So we need to win more elections. And if I'm elected, I'm going to do the work, continue doing the work in my personal capacity that I've been doing. In 2020, I traveled the state, and as part of the Save the Veto initiative, I raised money for Democrats. I volunteered on their campaigns, and I'll continue to do things of that nature, because at the end of the day, we need to win. Tony Evers needs to win. Josh Call needs to win. Next year, we need to elect a fair judge in April. And then maybe we can do something about this ridiculous partisan gerrymander that is the worst in the country. So I would do that. Number two.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, sure. Number two with the doors. When I talk to folks, I run into Republicans all the time. Some of the conversations don't go so well, but the majority of them actually go pretty well because I listen to them first. I really listen to what they have to say. I find something that we can agree upon. A lot of times it's that politics has gotten way too polarized. And then I make a subtle suggestion. Maybe I make a subtle suggestion about something that we might have some common ground on. And what I've discovered is that if you get away from Madison and the Trump Republican leadership, and you actually talk to the people who are independents, and even some conservative Republicans, we're not as far apart as maybe it seems like on talk television or talk radio. And I think that's something that I would do. If I'm elected, I am going to continue to reach out to the people as opposed to the Trump Republican leadership, because I believe there are people we can reach, and we have to. We have to reach those people if we're going to win elections. And finally, and I want to mention this because it's really important, and I don't think we're talking about it enough, but we need to hold people accountable, wrongdoers accountable for what they did in the 2020 election. There was an effort in Wisconsin to send fake electors to Washington, D.C. And there's a lawsuit just last week, a civil suit that's been brought by a Wisconsin Law Forward group, and also my alma mater, Georgetown. There's a group there that's part of it. And this is about the fact that folks try to subvert the will of the people. And this was done by somebody who's sitting, one of these electors is sitting on the Wisconsin Election Commission today and could become the chairperson of that commission. We need to hold these people accountable for what they did, because it undermines our democracy. And if we don't hold them accountable, why won't they just do this again?
Andrew, I want to even dive deeper into some of those answers. Thank you for the details of that. You talked about how when you're doing doors, you're finding that there's some issues where, you're not really that far apart from people that identify as Republican, even though you identify as Democrat. Talk to me about what are some of those issues that you're hearing?
Legalization of cannabis. Yeah, there's a lot of Republicans that support it. Especially people medicinally, they feel that it's crazy that you've got legal opioids that are addictive. You can overdose on them. Yet people who can deal with chronic pain with cannabis used responsibly as an adult, they could go to jail. I think that really helps me reach a lot of Republicans and independents. Another issue is the fact that inflation really hurts. It's hurting people who are on fixed incomes. It's hurting working families. Gas prices are hurting. And I think recognizing that this is being experienced by everybody, Democrats, Republicans, independents, unaffiliated folks, really goes the distance. And I really am excited about labor unions, because right now I think it's Trakshi. I went to it's a company here in Sun Prairie, this local Smart Local 565. It's the sheet metal workers is protesting because they're having a fight around one of their collective bargaining rights, which is they want to be able to approve mandatory overtime. The union currently has that power, but the company wants to take it away from them. When I talk to people who are working folks, they want to have some control over their hours. They want to have healthcare through their job. They want to have a retirement that's safe. So when I talk to Republicans and I talk about issues like that, after we've established some sort of rapport, because you really have to listen to them and you have to go through the discomfort of them saying, oh, you're a Democrat. I can't believe you're being nice to me, or your party's like really screwing everything up. I have to go through that sort of conversation, a little discomfort in the beginning, but once they like see me listening to them, and then once we start talking about these kinds of issues, they're not always as far apart as they might seem based upon like Fox News.
Andrew, tell me more about also, I mean, that sounds like the foundation for your first point, which was, right, we want to win more elections. How do we do that, though, in our gerrymandered state?
Okay, so I've got a plan for that.
Oh, all okay, right. Good.
I do. Number one, we prevent a veto-proof majority. Okay, so right now, Robin Voss, Speaker of the House, is saying that's their number one goal, to have so many Republican legislators using these gerrymandered maps that we will be in such a small minority, we can't do anything. Number two, Josh Call needs to win his reelection for AG. Governor Tony Evers needs to win his reelection for governor. He's done an amazing job during very difficult times, and we need him in that role. Next spring, we have a very important state Supreme Court race. Mm-hmm. At that race, we need to elect a fair-minded judge who's going to rule based upon the law and not based upon politics. We cannot have the state Supreme Court acting as an extension of the Trump Republican legislature. If these things happen, I believe it's possible we could actually address this ridiculous, undemocratic, and I mean small d democratic gerrymander, the worst in the country. And if we do that, then we can actually return the state to our history. Our history of supporting working families, of supporting environmental policies that make sense.
I mean, I like that you're talking about the power of statewide elections, and that collectively, when we all come together and have the voice, and it's not the gerrymandered map, that we could actually have, you know, little d leadership in the executive branch and the judicial branch to help support the work that you want to be a part of in the legislative branch.
Yes. And I think maybe it's not the 1990s anymore. You know, I think to be an elected representative who's a Democrat, state assembly person or senator, I mean, it's why I really appreciate Senator Agard.
And Melissa Keller Agard, because, who represents that district. Yep.
Yeah, and Kelda Royce.
Yes.
Kelda Royce, because they both are working really, really hard to try to do more than just, oh, let's, you know, we got an office now in the Capitol and let's go caucus and then we'll send some letters to our constituents and then talk about the issues that are important to us to people that like agree with us. They're out there raising funds, they're out there recruiting candidates, they're out there doing what they can to really address like the systemic problems and challenges we're facing. So that's the way I think anyone who's elected to this office, if it's me, I would love it to be me. I think I'll do a great job. If it's one of my colleagues who's running, who I all hold in great regard, they need to do this too. They need to commit themselves to fighting for our state to fighting for the will that the will of the voters is respected, and to fight for our democracy. Because if they don't, I mean, what's going to happen in 2024?
Right.
I mean, the way things are going, what is going to happen if we don't do something right now to stand up and fight against this?
I think that's a perfect way to, you know, we're nearing the end of our conversation today. And I so appreciate the not just you speaking for your experience and your leadership and your voice, but acknowledging that we're all in this together and we're going to lift each other up no matter where, you know, what happens after the primary. Tell me, Andrew, yes. Let our listeners know, how can they get to know you better? Is there a website, a way that they can learn more about your issues and perhaps meet you on the campaign trail?
Well, hopefully I'll be knocking on your door sometime soon, but you can go to my website and you can send me an email. My website is, Heisel, the number four, or F-O-R, either one, forassembly.com, and it's H-Y-S-E-L-L. I've got a Twitter, which is @Heisel_Andrew, H-Y-S-E-L-L underscore Andrew. And then my Instagram is @Heisel4Assembly, F-O-R Assembly. And you can always call me at 608-717-9269.
I'm loving all these candidates putting phone numbers out there. You know, you're ready to be contacted. It's just wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Andrew. Yeah. Yeah. It's great to get to know you. And I really appreciate, you know, bringing really a big picture perspective, all your experience on the national level and helping, you know, energize the state assembly race with that experience that you have. It's great to talk to you.
Well, thanks for having public radio. I believe public television and radio are essential news sources, especially in this day and age.
We are fabulous. It's great to have you. Thank you so much. And best of luck on your campaign. Andrew Heisel, one of the candidates for Assembly District 46.
And thank you so much.
Thank you. And it's been great talking with Andrew today and Melissa today. And of course, last week we talked with Syed and we talked with Annalise. Just really great. Excited to hear all the wonderful voices. We will continue this conversation again in a couple of weeks. And I want to remind everyone, next week is our 1 week pledge drive just for 1 week in the summer. So can't wait to bring that to everyone next week. We have a lot of really fun conversations coming up then. It's going to be great. But a huge thank you, as always, to Rochelle Wilson, for Rochelle for producing, Teresa for engineering, Shali, our news director. Couldn't do this show, couldn't do WART without the three of them and the entire team behind them. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Stay dry today, and we will see you again next week. Want to remind you, you are listening to volunteer-powered, listener-sponsored community radio, WORT 89.9 FM Madison. Bye, everybody.
Don't start no fights if you cannot predict the outcome. Don't make donations where you cannot get your dough back. The apathetic bull, to send them all your Prozac. I will not climb into your telephone tree, and hell no, you cannot put me on hold. It's the same recorded message you've been singing all along. Keep handing us the Bible while you're walking off with all the gold. The bureaucratic office sends you merry-go-rounding, while the KKK police the streets by bloodhounding. Interest on the credit card just keeps on compounding, but the FCC can never shut this pirate sound down. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded, with information that will never be reported. Disregard the mainstream media distorted. We come